Well, hello, hello, and welcome into another episode of the Subscription Web Design Podcast. In this one, I want to do something a little bit different than what I normally do. I want to give you 7 lessons that I wish I had learned sooner as a web designer. These are things that as I thought about my past experience over the last almost decade now, doing this business fairly regularly, and I guess the last 3 or 4 years doing it full time, it's been a fascinating experience to see what things, based on the other areas of life that I've lived, like what have I learned, and you know, marketing advice and business advice, what are things that I could apply to my web design journey, and then specific things to the website that I've learned as well, to the journey of actually doing the work of website design. So these are things that I wish I had learned sooner as a website designer, and we're going to dive in. So number one is that nobody actually wants a website, okay? You got to find the want behind the want, all right? Somebody says, I want a website. They could mean a number of things by that. What they don't mean is, I want a website. All right, here's some of what they could mean. They could mean, I want a professional looking brand online. They could also mean, I would like for a website to bring in 10 new clients per month. Now, understand that if somebody comes to you and they say, I want a website, if you sell them a website, okay, then what you've just done is shown them that they are a nail and you are a hammer. So because they're a nail, you have a hammer, and if everything's a nail, then you have a hammer, okay? That's not a good way of doing things. You need to get to the why behind the what, okay? Yeah, what is it that I want? I want a website. Okay, but I understand that. So a website could accomplish numerous goals. When you think about your current website that you have, what is it that you don't actually care for? And then they might say, well, what is it that you don't really care for about your current website? Oh, but you know, it's the colors. The colors are awful. I don't think it's a very good user experience. It looks horrible on mobile, et cetera, right? So what you're doing is you're asking questions that get to the heart of the matter, that get to why they really contacted you. Oh, it turns out they're concerned about their professional image online. Then that's the selling point. Now, even if you can do more for them, you now understand what they want and what they desire. Once you know that, that's all you have to do to make your sales point, okay? You're picking up on the words that they're using and the ideas that they have, and you're capitalizing on those to actually help make the sale. If you can do other things for them, like getting them more business through the website, that's cool too, but don't lose focus on what they've already told you they want, because whatever they want is what they're willing to buy, not what they need. That's a discussion for, honestly, a whole different podcast, but I think that it for this context here, it's important to know that you got to sell somebody what they want. Now, what if you say, well, what is it about your website that you don't really care for right now? If their answer to that question is now instead, well, here's the thing. Right now, our website gets us about 5 sales per month. I really like for it to get us about 15 sales per month. So we need about 10 more sales per month from our website in order for us to feel like it's being effective. Okay, boom. That's an entirely different conversation from the other one, even though they both started with, I need a new website. So that's the thing. Nobody actually wants a website. Okay, here's, again, to harp on this a little more. They feel like they need a website. The need is for a website, but they won't buy a need, or if they will buy a need, what they will do is look for the cheapest price they can get in order to satisfy the need. However, if you can tap into what they want, they will pay a higher price for what they want because they want something and you have it, or you have the ability to produce it for them, okay? Big, big difference in approach to sales. So nobody actually wants a website. Learn what they want, sell them that, and then you can give them what they need by selling them what they want. Okay, the second thing that I wish I'd learned sooner as a web designer is that people will want to pay the bare minimum unless you tell them why they shouldn't, all right? Let me say that again, it was a little bit longer. People will want to pay the bare minimum unless you tell them why they shouldn't. This is why I don't ask the question, well, what's your budget? I hate that question. I hate being asked that question, and I hate asking that question because it totally disconnects the reality. Now, there is a context for this, and I think there are various situations that could come up that you need to identify it. You know, in some cases, it's like, well, okay, this client is expecting to pay $100, and really, I'm going to charge them $1,000, right? Or they're expecting to pay $500, and I'm going to charge them $5,000, right? you should be able to tell pretty early on if there's a mismatch like that. Maybe instead of asking the question, though, what's your budget? You might ask a question more like, well, for this project, what kind of resources did you have in mind actually dedicating and using on this, right? That's one question. Another question you could ask to sort of understand their business a little more too. I say, well, let me ask you a question. This will kind of help me understand, you know, how much effort really we should actually put into the project. I'm curious if you know, number one, the average sale that you make, right? Like when you make a sale from your website, what's the average sale value? And then how many sales do you make right now? And then how many sales do you see yourself wanting to make as a result of the work that we're doing together, right? And so then that should tell you how much effort they are expecting. Because if you're going to take their sales from 5 to 15 in the course of a month, you have to produce 10 more sales. If their average sale is $1,000 at 10 more sales, then you're increasing their monthly revenue, or at least you're aiming to increase their monthly revenue by $10,000 per month, all right? You're not going to increase the revenue of a business by $10,000 per month with a $500 website. Maybe not even with a $5,000 website. Do you see how that works? So what you're doing is you're asking questions to help them understand what their own expectations are. They may not even know. Okay, so you're helping them try to understand what their own expectations are, because otherwise they are primed to want to pay the least amount possible because they're still thinking in terms of need. If you shift their mindset from need to want, get them to tell you that, and then help them to understand the actual reality behind the results that they're hoping to accomplish, then you can actually justify your prices a lot better, and rather than having people that only want to pay the bare minimum. Okay, number three is that I've learned that most people don't really understand what a website is. And if you go back to our last episode, we talked about this quite extensively. I was answering the question, what if a client doesn't want to pay for a subscription? And one of the things in the question that came up was just that they thought that a website was more like an online brochure, not really a tool that could help with their sales. And I understand there are a lot of people who actually think this way. It's my opinion that we should try to change their mind on this. We should actually try to give them evidence and walk them through sort of the logic of why a website really should be a tool for their sales. It can actually increase the sales of their business. It's not just an online brochure. Now, if there is a particular kind of business in which, okay, it really is more like an online brochure, then that's absolutely fine. But help them understand maybe how the website could be used in a more sales capacity and a marketing capacity in a way where they can actually tie revenue generation to the website. Now, this is more important if you're going to be charging thousands of dollars per month or thousands of dollars for a build at all. You know, if you're doing something where it's more like the template model, a couple hundred dollars a month, you might not have to justify the website's value that much, okay? But especially if you want to get into, you know, charging four figures for the work that you're doing, you're going to need to understand how to help justify the value that you actually bring to the table with a website. So help people understand what a website is. It's not like a static like house, something that you just build and keep it from falling down. It's something that actually is living. It's active. It's in its environment. And, you know, it's getting bombarded by Google and Facebook and ChatGPT and everything else every single day, and security threats and bots, right? It's more like a living organism that you're trying to keep alive rather than a house that you're trying to keep from falling down. And because of that, the entire business relationship that you have with the website changes, and it's a good argument for a subscription model. Number four, this is the fourth thing that I wish I'd learned sooner as a web designer. This is a big one. Ready? There is tremendous freedom in scaling. There is tremendous freedom in scaling. The day that it fully sunk in that I don't have to do everything myself was a light bulb day. Amazing. I mean, I've been able to go away for a week and mostly completely unplug while my team still gets work done. The first time you experience that, I mean, it's euphoric. It's amazing to think that you guys can be doing great work while you're gone and out of town and even mostly inaccessible. Yes, there are challenges with scaling. There are added complexities and potential problems and things that can come up, but there's also tremendous freedom. And if you are in business for freedom's sake, which I am, okay, if you are somebody who's in business for freedom's sake, then you should seriously consider scaling your operation, even if minimally, even if just by one, two, or three people. You'd be amazing how much more effective you could be and how much more time you can free up for yourself, and frankly, how much more money you can make if you really get good at thinking about and executing on scaling your operation. There's lots I could say about that. I've got to move on for the sake of time, but there's tremendous freedom in scaling. I just want you to sit with that and consider that and how you could apply it to your business. Okay, number five thing that I learned is that you need time to work on your business and stat, all right? You need time. I would say you need whole days. You need 3 to 4 hour chunks at least once per week. You need time when you're actually thinking about what you're going to do in your business to grow, to move to the next level, the next marketing initiative, the next sales initiative. You can't spend all of your time doing. Of course, that ties into the fact that there's freedom in scaling. The more others are working in your business, the more you can work on your business. But if you're not to that point yet, you haven't started scaling yet, you're not ready to go there, you still need to make time every single week, margin in your schedule, to do the real work of working on the business, because that's where the work is, okay? I hate to tell you, the real work is not the client work. And by the way, I still fall into this thinking trap, and it's a bad thought trap, so I'm going to say it out loud, and I want you to get this in your head. It's really tempting to think, as a business owner, that the only time you're working is when you're turning buttons on a website or drawing a design. Let me tell you that nothing could be further from the truth. When you're doing those things, you're working in your business. The real work, the most important work, is the work that for us might not feel like work. It might feel like we're being lazy. We're sitting around and we're thinking and we're reading or we're taking notes. We're strategizing. That doesn't feel like work, at least not to me, but it is. It's the most important work that you have to do, and nobody else in your business is going to do it for you. It's the work that only you can do. So you need more of that time. I'm talking about put it on the calendar. Like, it's a commitment on your calendar, just like it's a meeting with a client, okay? Nobody else can book that time because it's yours. Block it off, put it there, and execute on it at least once a week, probably more than that, okay? Number six, practical concern, okay? Spend less than you make and have a good time, all right? There's an old saying when it comes to, so I'm a Christian, and you know, there's an old saying, I think it was St. Augustine who said, this was thousands of years ago, right? He said, love God and do whatever you please. Okay. That was his whole point when it comes to decision-making. Like, do I trust God? Like, do I know what God's will is in the situation? There's all these things that Christians get in a tizzy about, right? Thinking about, well, how does God want me to do this? How does God want me to do that? Augustine said, love God and do whatever you please. What he meant by that is that if you love God, by definition, you will only do things that are in line with God's choices and God's decisions and God's will for your life. So you're free to do whatever you want as long as you're within the confines of being able to do it while being madly in love with God. Love God, do whatever you please. Okay, in the same way here, I want to say, no matter what you're doing, as long as you're spending less than you make, right? Because if you don't do this, you won't be profitable. And if you're not profitable, you can't stay in business. Okay, this is the real world we're living in here. Okay, this is not, you know, a SaaS company in California where they're funded for, you know, a decade before they're profitable. We live in real world, small business world, where if you don't make more than you spend, you die. You go out of business, then you have to go get a job, okay? Spend less than you make and have a good time. If you live within the confines of those boundaries, spending less than you make, having a good time doing what you're doing, you can do business forever. Okay, you could do business forever just within that. And then everything else is just a byproduct and is totally secondary. And then here's number seven. Okay, seven lessons I wish I'd learned sooner as a web designer. This is the last one, and it's arguably the most important. Whatever you do in order to avoid burnout and depression, measure the gain, not the gap. Don't measure who you are today versus where you want to be off of the horizon. Measure who you are today versus who you were 5 months ago, 5 days ago, 5 minutes ago, 5 years ago. Measure the gap, that growth and development that you've experienced, not the gain. Now, have those horizons, have those goals. But see, the thing about the horizon line is it's always moving. As you move, it moves. As you increase in skills and confidence and capability and all of that, you get better, your goals get loftier and your dreams get bigger. And you can feel Like you're always spinning your wheels. When in reality, if you look back 10 years ago, you're a completely different person. Man, you're a business owner today. You weren't even thinking these ways 10 years ago, likely, right? Think about those things. Identify those milestones in your life that have brought you to where you are and measure that gain, not the gap. That's how you can be sure that you're always making forward momentum and forward progress in everything that you do. I hope you take these lessons to heart. I wish I'd learned all of these way sooner, especially that last one. I wish I'd learned it in the very beginning instead of just a couple of months ago now. Easily though, one of the things I will take with me for the rest of my life, and I want you to take it with you for the rest of yours as well. God bless. I hope you found this helpful. Please like, subscribe, share, comment, leave a review, all those good things. And I will catch you on the next episode of Subscription Web Design. Thanks for your time. Hey there, it's Steve, and I really hope you enjoyed this episode of the show. You know, one of the biggest questions that I get is, okay, Steve, I'm excited. I love this idea of subscription web design, but I have no clue where to get started. If that's you, go to subscriptionwebdesign.com right now, enter your best email address, and I'm going to send you an exclusive training that I did on the 5 models of subscription web design that will show you the options that are available to you and give you some things to think about on how to get started. And for a limited time, I'm going to include my contract template for subscription web design. I've been asked multiple times to provide this template, and it's usually only available to my paying students. It's a $100 value, but it's yours free. Just go to subscriptionwebdesign.com and enter your best email address there, and I'll send those right to you, as well as send you daily email tips from the trenches of running my agency. See you over there at subscriptionwebdesign.com.